How does this go? Hello and welcome. Well, not quite the free kick pod. Not quite as good, that's for sure. Far less quality, probably 2-3 points lower than the, what would you say, Todd? 9 out of 10 that you put up every week?
Man, I'd say I put up a solid 6 out of 10 performance.
No.
I'm already dying. I mean, this is off to a great start, man. A minute in and...
No, listen. Well, first and foremost, thank you, everybody, for joining us. I see the numbers are creeping up little by little. I'm an idiot. As I mentioned to Todd, our guest today, the pride of Joppatown, DC United's finest, if he was ever to be a homegrown player or selected by them, they have the priority right, right? Is that what it is? Or what is it? The discovery?
Yeah, they have my homegrown rights. It's crazy.
Unreal. But we have Todd from the Free Kick Pod. Mike, busy tonight. Dave, out in England, getting ready for tomorrow, up the gills. He has plenty to do tomorrow with his full-time job. So the main crew is going to get back together on Sunday. But listen, I am a firm believer in consistent content. And I wanted to make sure that we put something out before tomorrow's match. And frankly, we have plenty to talk about. I know Todd has done a great job through the free kick to talking about boats, about Saprissa. But during his podcast, he guessed himself or second guessed himself. It's a great idea to talk about Chicago, especially with Chicago tomorrow. So I wanted to take some time to be a twofer, as they call it in the industry, Todd. My content is your content. AAT Sports, free kick, like that meme with the two arms, you know, like just grasping. We want to put something together so we can lightly go into Chicago. I don't know that we can, you know, fully talk about them. I know I have a little something for everybody tomorrow, but all in all, with that introduction, long-winded, Todd, how are you?
Man, I am, you know, I realize sitting here that I'm the fourth string option, and instead of running to the media and complaining about my lack of opportunity, just like Richard Adada, you know, I'm going to continue to put in the work and make the most of my opportunities given to me, just like Jesus Bueno did. So, yeah, I'm doing great, Jose.
All right, so let's get into it, man, because what a morning that was today. And we have Jillian. Thank you so much for listening on your way home from the YMCA coaching swimming. What a morning. I got to admit, Todd, I did not expect to run into an article from Richard or about Richard Adada from Kenyan News. I think, long story short, talking about how much he hated or disliked playing MLS Next Pro. He didn't like the idea of being a... What was the exact quote, Todd? Wasn't it something like... it felt like playing friendlies, fully knowing that I was better than the quality on the field. And then going on further to actually talking about... gosh, it was something along the lines of like, you know, you got to trust the coach, but every single week, getting you dressed up and not even using you was just extremely difficult for me to swallow, or whatever it was. What did you make of that? I mean, such a strong quote. And let's not forget the last bit before I let you go. He did not deny or confirm whether or not he would want to come back to the Union, which is a gigantic piece considering the depth issues that this team's going to run into in the summer. So what did you make of that very random interview that we ran into this morning?
Yeah, I mean, this is, first off, a good find by you, and I was not expecting to see Richard Adada speaking this openly about his time at the Philadelphia Union, because let's not forget, technically, he still is a Philadelphia Union player. He's on loan in Denmark, and so, yes, AAB has the option to make it a permanent deal, but Philadelphia Union technically still have his contract. And so to come out and say things like, you know, sometimes they would bench me, never play me, and it never made sense, which is why I decided to take or look for another option that would build me as a player, because I do not want to have regrets and make excuses, which is why I went to AAB on loan as they were offering me regular senior football. I mean, to go out here and say, you know, it doesn't make sense. What do you mean it doesn't make sense? To me, it makes perfect sense. I told you this morning, as soon as you reported this, Jose, that, you know, if Richard Adada was good enough, he would have been given an opportunity. It's that simple. And he didn't beat out Jesus Bueno. He didn't beat out Jose Martinez. He didn't beat out Leon Flock, who fills in there as the number six. He has multiple players in front of him. And it's like, of course, I joked and said, you know, I'm like Jesus Bueno, just keeping my mouth shut. But I think that's a really good example where you look in 2021, 2022, Jesus Bueno was down with Union 2, and you didn't see him going to the media complaining about, well, I signed a first-team contract with the Philadelphia Union, but yet I'm not getting any playing time with the Union. They're playing me with the second team. You don't see him calling it a friendly. What did he do? The leading goal scorer for them in 2022, I believe it was, with 6 or 5 goals, something like that. He took his opportunities, and then the upcoming preseason with the Union, Jim Curtin kept saying, yeah, he came in the best shape out of all the players, and he forced Jim Curtin to play him. And it makes no sense to me why Richard Odata would make these comments about the Union when, like I've said now 10 times, they still own this player.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. And, you know, I have not gotten the chance to actually speak with Richard. Just, you know, the happenstance of him going on loan when I finally, you know, really stepped into reporting for a little while. I was just from, you know, Zoom, or, you know, I wasn't showing up to press conferences, etc. And then I kicked it up into high gear. Never got the chance to speak with him, but I must admit, like, this is a very interesting quote to give out to, and maybe it's a comfort thing, right? Sports Pulse out of Kenya. So maybe there's some comfort in terms of how he feels with the reporter. I mean, the same way that I would say that, you know, how candidly some of the players speak with me, and you have witnessed it. Kyle has also witnessed it. Mike has witnessed it as well. You build this relationship and you build this comfort where you feel, you know, more and more open to share. And I think that's just the nature of being human. But you said it absolutely right. He is still under contract with the Philadelphia Union. So to drop something like this, and really, I can't fault the reporter for asking, you know, about the opportunity of coming back to Philadelphia and fulfilling whatever role Jim Curtin and Ernst Tanner have for him. His response was obviously very calculated, right? There's make no mistake. He did not confirm or deny. He said, whatever will happen. I will work as hard as I can and leave the rest to God. So a man of religion or faith, whatever you want to call it, and that's totally fine, totally fair. But everything above that piece of the code, kind of incendiary, you know, kind of not doing himself any favors, and and talking with sources and people about Richard at the time when he was with the Union, it seemed like he was sort of at that level. Obviously, I did not get a chance to really watch him in MLS Next Pro, but my understanding is that he actually fit absolutely fine. It's not like he was, you know, like it's not like he was an MLS all-star suddenly playing with MLS Next Pro, right? So you could tell that the level made sense. Obviously, he's doing very, very well out in Denmark with Abbe Alborg, I think is how you say it. Actually was on the bench against FC Dallas for a friendly out in Spain for Dallas's sake as they were preparing for the season, but Wood did not play, so I didn't get a chance to watch him. Seems to be doing all right. I think he just scored a goal this past weekend. 13 appearances, I think, so far since August. So, I don't know. I don't know what to make out of this quote, except that, you know, I wonder who initiated the conversation. Was this Richard reaching out to Pulse Sports, or was this Pulse Sports doing their due diligence and reaching out to a player, obviously of Kenyan nationality, to get a quote, right? Continue to keep up with those players. And I think he's more or less an all-star within the national team. So for what it's worth, I just wanted to bring that up, and you sort of did in the intro. So it was an interesting report. Any final words while I take a sip of water?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people have said in the past they wanted to see Richard Odata. I mean, I've even said that I've wanted to see him in the midfield. Can you imagine a midfield of Richard Odata, Jesus Bueno, and Jose Martinez? I mean, that's just destroyers right there, at least on paper. And right. A quote like this, maybe we never do get to see Richard Odata. And I, you know, signings aren't always going to hit. And we can get into another one that you and Mike talked about last week that's now become official. But, you know, there's going to be hit and misses like this. And the Union took a shot on Richard and it didn't work out. And they tried to give him playing time with Union 2. And obviously with this quote, he wasn't happy with that. And so they go ahead and loan him back over to Europe. And let's not forget, too, when Richard came over here from Red Star Belgrade, he'd only made two appearances with the Serbian club during his time there. I mean, he was out on loan at multiple clubs in Serbia, and then the Union were able to strike a deal with him. So it's not like he was playing at the highest tier soccer before he came over here. I mean, yes, Red Star Belgrade, that's a huge club, but he wasn't even playing with them. So it's like, I don't know what Richard's on about when we keep saying you're still technically a Philadelphia Union player. He must be pretty confident that the club in Denmark is going to pick up his contract.
You like to think so, right? And you know, I don't think we can really comment. I would actually, if we knew more, I think we probably would stop. But like, what was the connection, right? When you think about his time prior to the Union, right? Like, it just doesn't. It seems like a very interesting find. Was there a connection in terms of scouting? Was there a connection in terms of, I don't know, how he made his way from there to the Union? And maybe we'll find out, who knows. But I would be very, very interested to talk to Richard and sort of pick his brain about whether he's a Union player or he is I don't know, Aalborg player for the remaining of his contract, right? Just to say, what was that all about? You know, like, no harm done, but like, it's so intrigued onto why did it not work? Why did you, I don't know if it's fair to say, why did you not feel supported, but what was it about the environment that did not work out for you when it seems to work out for a lot of players who come, put up their time and
yeah,
move on? You know, they move to the next level in terms of Jesus Bueno, like you say, Jack McLinn, Nate Harrell, etc. It's a little puzzling, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. I mean, none better than Jesus Bueno, in my opinion. I mean, this is a guy who signed a first team contract and it looked like, okay, maybe this was a miss with Ernst Tenner because he's not getting into the first team. But then again, I go back to what Jim Curtin said last preseason. He came in the best shape out of anybody in the preseason. Like, he forced Jim. He showed Jim, look, this is what I have to offer. And once he got given his opportunities last season, it's like, wow, you've earned a spot in this team and you feel confident, so confident that people are having a discussion. Should it be Jesus Bueno starting on the right side of the midfield instead of Ali Bedoya or Quinn Sullivan? And, you know, having depth like that, that's only a good thing for this club.
Absolutely. And you think about the international picture this summer, there is a very strong possibility, I think a certainty, that Jose Martinez is going to go ahead and represent Venezuela for Copa America. But there's also a possibility that Jesus Bueno goes as well, considering that Venezuela did not qualify for the Olympics. So they could potentially use a player like him. Had two call-ups last year. Departed the first one after being integrated to the group. It was a knee injury, I think. And then the second call-up, he didn't even make the trip. He had to decline due to the ankle injury, if I recall. Is that correct?
Yeah, it sounds about right. But like, just talking about that, like all the competitions, it's pretty funny, right? It's like, hey, Jesus Bueno, I mean, Richard Adada is going out here making comments. And what if Aalborg doesn't pick up the buy option? He's a Philadelphia Union player. Maybe he does find a way into the starting 11 because you could potentially be without Jose Martinez, potentially without Jack McGlynn, Quinn Sullivan, Jesus Bueno, those two young guys because of the Olympics. I mean, one strong suit, the depth. Now it looks like it could potentially be non-existent. And you can make the argument too. It's like, well, then why did they get rid of Andres Pereira? Well, you know, in that situation, I feel like when New York City is giving you as much money as they did, you hold on to him. Or you can make the same argument with Joaquin Torres. And I would say that it was pretty telling, like listening to Jim Curtin at the end of the season press conference with his comments that they were going to do everything they could to try to move on from Joaquin Torres. And I think they probably would have liked to keep him in MLS to get some kind of game, but they couldn't get a deal done. And that tells me that there was zero interest in MLS for somebody like Joaquin Torres. And in that press release for Joaquin Torres, the union made no mention that they were going to receive a loan fee for Joaquin. So that was a terrible move. But obviously the union said, you know, we're a better team without you than having you here when you're not going to get into any matches.
Yeah. And I mean, we're into it now. And so following, you know, leading into Saprissa, or was it after Saprissa? It was after Saprissa, right?
After, yeah, because I made that cringe loan video. I cannot believe that.
Yeah. Really, really interesting video if you saw from Universidad Católica out in Chile. I'm actually very happy for Joaquin. Having talked to some people and you know, full disclosure, Mike was on the phone with me too as it was developing, and you were on the phone with me. We were sort of like talking, and then suddenly I started getting text messages from people like, did you see this? Like, I'm hearing this. And somebody who was actually in Indiana texted me, and then another person sent me a WhatsApp message from Chile saying, this guy's coming over? Like, what? So we worked through it together. I think, was it 8 o'clock at night?
It was late.
It was 8 o'clock at night, or I think it was like 6 o'clock at night. You and I were talking with Kyle actually as well, and we had it all wrapped up. But we waited, or I waited, I should say, to post it till the morning. Wanted to get a comment from the club. But frankly, I must admit, I just seeing the pictures and seeing the videos as corny as they are, I'm happy for Joaquin.
He seems happy.
Yeah, I mean, he's smiling. He did not feature today. Today was their very first game of the season, or their Apertura tournament. And it's actually very late, mainly because of forest fires in Chile. So they had to delay the start of their season. But did not feature today. I'm sure within the next couple of games, he will be integrated and playing. He was asked about that actually in the press conference, you know, because it seems like reporters from every other country have no idea how preseason works in MLS. So Joaquin was insightful enough to say, I actually played against Flamengo. I played against three other MLS teams or featured at some point. I did the entire preseason. I'm in shape. I'm ready to go. Obviously, he probably still doesn't know the names of his teammates, and that's something that'll come with time. But I took a look at the press release that they made, and some interesting points that he mentioned, both in terms of personal goals and team goals. And the one thing that really stood out to me is that he was eager to get minutes, which obviously was something that did not happen in Philadelphia. Fans will remember him for the double spin cycle, the home opener last year, right? So we're coming up on not necessarily 365 days, but a year to the date per se, but also wanting to help a big team. So if you want to read too much into those comments, feel free. All I did was translate them for all of you. I try not to opine on these things on my posts or my reporting. But you know, what is really important about this is I'm intrigued onto what the actual agreement is, because he was making $309,000 last year. So are they picking up the entire salary? Is there a split? What do you make about the rest of this transaction?
Yeah, so I mean, I wish we would have got the opportunity to ask Jim Curtin today at his press conference, because I think this is maybe a concern. And you would think now with the union loaning out Joaquin Torres, I know they're pretty close to the amount of players that they can have on the roster. I believe it's 30. Don't hold me to it, but I believe that's correct. They can have 30 players registered to be roster compliant in MLS. And so you would think, okay, well, you get rid of Joaquin Torres, maybe you go out and maybe you have something up your sleeve. But Daniel Gazdag is going to be missing throughout the season, whether it be with friendlies, qualifying games, Nation League games, the Euros. And now, who's going to play as your number 10? I mean, Quinn Sullivan can potentially do it. Joaquin Torres, you thought, was the backup to Daniel Gazdag. Jeremy Raffanello, Nick Pariano. does that make anybody confident in Jeremy Raffanello or Nick Pariano or Quinn Sullivan? And I don't even know if like playing as a 10 is like Quinn's best position. I think we saw it against Saprissa.
Look no further than his little card today in social media of like, what's your position? I don't know. You know, it's so funny. So go ahead. I just wanted to bring that up before we moved on past that.
Yeah, it's so funny, right? It's like, I don't know what position I am. I'm super versatile. And that's how all these junior players are. Like, they can play in multiple different positions, but maybe not as versatile as Quinn Sullivan. Play him as a striker, a second striker, play him as a 10, play him as an 8, natural winger. But I think it's pretty telling just watching Quinn against Saprissa. Like, he liked drifting out wide. Like, you can tell he's a natural winger. He wanted to be out wide, collecting on the ball, getting on the ball. And so I do think looning out Joaquin Torres does beg questions. All right, did the Union potentially have a move up their sleeve? I don't think they do, at least not yet, in my opinion. And you're just going to ride with what you have. Do you completely change the formation and not play as a 10? I mean, I guess that's a possibility, but you do lose a little bit of depth, even if Joaquin Torres didn't hit the ground running last year in 13 appearances, 1 goal, 1 assist, I believe it was. I know people said David Vasquez. I don't know yet. I mean, from what you read, maybe you're hearing something, Jose. I mean, it seems like a first team deal would be pretty difficult because of LAFC. I know the Union had a trade for his rights or something like that, because LAFC technically had his rights. And getting a player like David Vasquez on the first team, you would think, oh yeah, this, give him a first team deal. But I don't think it's as simple as that.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more complicated. I've heard a few things, but nothing that I feel comfortable enough to certainly publicly on the air to talk about. But there's stuff. I mean, they want him. They want David to put pen to paper. But what that deal looks like and the different complications, and then you throw into the picture someone like, you know, trying to court, as crazy as it sounds, what is he, 14? Kevin Sullivan, right? So the courting has already started for him, and obviously he, to my understanding, has done incredibly well as a 14-year-old with the Union 2 MLS Next Pro. So, like, certainly a talent. I think it's too early to say generational, but a very talented player. So I don't know, man. I wonder about the depth of this team, and then you think about, again, Richard Odata. Where would he fit? I think he would fit perfectly now.
Yeah, I mean, definitely not as a 10, but as one of those 8s potentially, definitely as a 6. I mean, it's hard to get down on this team after their come-from-behind victory against Saprissa, right? But there's definitely holes in this roster, and you technically have those players, but one of them's out on loan. Well, both of them are out on loan, and again, I'll just go back to, you know, if they were good enough for the team, I don't think the Union would have loaned them out. I mean, it's as simple as that.
It makes you wonder. I'm going to go ahead and guess. I don't know the details of the deal, or I know pieces of it. I didn't know about the option to buy at the time, but it made sense once it was reported by the Inquirer. But I'm going to go ahead and on a whim here and say that there's no callback clause for Joaquin Torres. I think that's just the... You're there for the year. If anything, just guessing, I have no information. I'm guessing some sort of gentleman's agreement, right? Of like, take them for the year and then we're guaranteeing the purchase, though it's obviously still an option, not a mandatory buy unless there's some sort of incentive that needs to hit. I wish I knew more. I really, really do, because that's such a puzzling but also makes sense type of move.
I mean, it's telling, right? The Union know how many competitions players are going to be missing for. Why would you loan out a player? I mean, that tells you everything you need to know, that the team doesn't see Joaquin Torres as good enough. And that's why they were willing to loan out Joaquin Torres and not get a loan fee for Joaquin Torres, because nobody in MLS wanted him. So they weren't going to get game for him. And now apparently nobody, just overseas, wanted him to pay the Union for a loan fee. So it's like the Union are just sending him over there, and the wages, what's that being covered? Like you said, who knows? Is it 50-50? Is the union responsible for 60-40? Who knows? But you would hope the union has something. You would hope the union would have something up their sleeve in terms of a replacement for Joaquin, but I don't know. I mean, I'd be shocked, especially like this late into the transfer window. Teams in Europe, unless it's somebody that's not featuring for them, I'd be shocked if the union bring in a player.
Well, the transfer window does end on April 23rd. So there is some time, but to find a player mid-April or early April or somewhere in between, it's...
The only one that I can think of off the top of my head was Daniel Gosdag. So I think the agreement with that was, when did he join? 2021, I believe it was. So after his season in Hungary got finished, Daniel then met up with the union in May, played against DC United. Then I think he went away with the national team, and I think Hungary. He got hurt or something like that. It sounds familiar. So that's the only one that I can think of that technically the window in Europe was closed. It was still open in MLS. The union had agreed a deal to get Daniel Gosdag. They agreed to let Daniel finish out the season in Hungary, and then he would come and join them up in May. But I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head.
Nah, me neither. And that would make sense if they were to find a player. And let's not forget, they already need to technically, if they wanted to, they don't have to, I should say. I say LaFleur, obviously, with that torn ACL, very first practice, my understanding, like the first session, even a non-contact ACL, that's just like...
That's tough.
that's unbelievable. So whether they use their, you know, the different roster rules that they can in terms of getting budgetary relief by moving him to the season-ending injury list, it would be interesting. I also thought about, well, they don't want to use that one-time mechanism or that mechanism period until maybe right before the secondary window ends, because who knows what's going to happen in terms of does a Taibaribo or does, God forbid, a Daniel Gosdag suffer a season-ending injury, and then they should try to do something like that. Who knows? But, excuse me, while we talked about Joaquin, we talked about Odata, I think it's also fitting that we touch on it. I don't really care about your opinion, Todd, in this sense.
Thanks, Jose.
I think it's worthwhile touching upon it because it's a big deal. But Kai Wagner, his suspension got reduced. He is officially allowed to feature this Saturday at home. First and foremost, I'm intrigued on and you can answer or ask whatever questions you want in a minute, Todd, but I'm intrigued on what his reception is going to be like if he starts, which I completely expect, considering that he's probably the best player in the union roster. But also, what was it that changed, right, in the time between last season and now? And when did it change? When did it happen? Because there was technically, and I don't know enough, but he was technically a free agent for a little bit, right? In between 12/31 and whenever he signed or whenever it was agreed or whenever he officially put pen to paper, he was a free agent. So I can't imagine he was sitting in Germany or wherever he was doing restorative training to get back at it. So when did this training happen? Was it as soon as the Cincinnati loss happened when he was sitting at home? Like, was he like, I'm just so intrigued about it all. But anyways, just wanted to touch base on that. Kai will be or should be playing tomorrow, or is eligible, is probably the best way to say it. Any thoughts or comments you want to make, Todd? I think it's just pretty plain and simple. Kai is there and he's available.
Yeah, I mean, I think going to your point, what kind of reception will Kai get? Maybe there's going to be some sections that boo him, but I think majority of the fans, and like, this isn't a knock on the fans, they just don't know what's going on, if I'm being honest. It's harsh to say that, but I think, you know, we're obviously active on social media, and so we see other people that are active on social media, and, you know, opinions differ on social media. People are like, okay, he's all forgiven. People are like, no, I don't forget him. But I think majority of this fan base, is honestly going to forget what happened. Like, they're going to see Kai Wagner not remember anything about that suspension. I mean, I'm sure a good majority of this fan base doesn't even know that the suspension was reduced. And so I think, like I said, I mean, a couple pockets of boos, but I think majority of the fans are just going to be applauding him. And whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, I mean, I'm not here to sway anybody's opinion, but like you said, Jose, I mean, MLS decided that they're going to reduce his suspension. He's able to play in the home opener, and now you don't have to worry about playing Matt Real potentially.
Yes. I mean, my gosh, what a nothing against Matt Real. In fact, really funny video out there on I think it was the Union's Instagram. Real and Chris Donovan were out at a middle school or an elementary school just doing like some sort of like kids fitness type of thing.
That's awesome.
And Chris is wearing sweatpants, a Union t-shirt, Stan Smith's, my favorite pair of shoes, passing the ball, etc. And Matt Real is wearing all black and a Von Dutch hat with a chain and even a watch. Just like, I don't think he was prepared to play or do anything. And in fact, I didn't know this, Chris Donovan can dunk a basketball, soccer ball at least. I don't know if he can palm a basketball, but he dunked a soccer ball on the sprint. He wasn't just like standing, so he had a nice run up, put it in the net. But yeah, I think to your point, Todd, in terms of the fandom, out of those 18,000 19,000 people that show up every single game, I would go ahead and guess that 75% of them don't even know what happened. Like, I quite genuinely do not believe that over a quarter of the fandom knows what really happened or was reported to have happened.
Yeah, you're right. And not to just continue to go in circles, he'll be greeted happily. And again, I don't want to like knock on the fans at all. Like, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm sure that's not what you're trying to do, but it's like MLS news, and like, we know this too with trying to report on stuff. Like, it's not the most marketable. The league itself, I feel like, doesn't do a good job advertising. I mean, last night's game, Cincinnati, I feel like wasn't advertised that well. Like, one of the commentators for Cincinnati, Tom Gallariter, who's been on the podcast a couple times, I got to plug that, of course. But like, yeah, even Tom was like, yeah, nobody's promoting this game. Like, this is a big moment for Cincinnati. We're playing an international competition. We're playing in Jamaica, and this game's not getting promoted. And
what was the
that's an issue in itself too, right? Where MLS,
it looked like it was like 37 people in the stadium. It looked very, very small.
Cincinnati won that game 2-0, I believe it was. Sergio Santos scores a goal, so shout out Sergio.
New haircut again, again.
But I don't know. I think MLS just doesn't do a great job marketing. Unless you're an MLS sicko, people don't know half the things that go on in this league. They just follow their team. All right, the Union have a game this Saturday. That's all we need to know. We're going to go to Subaru Park. Atlanta United have a game on Sunday. All right, we'll go to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Like, I feel like that's what majority of these fans know. And for all the sickos out there that follow this league in depth, good on you guys.
One of us. You know, that's whatever I say when I meet somebody who's is in as deep as we are. Okay, so let's talk about Saprissa for maybe 5 minutes tops, because it's been a good while. Jim Curtin looked fantastic. Commonwealth proper, wonderful suit, great details, colors, everything. Fantastic. We don't have to talk about him much further.
Can we?
I'm intrigued what happened, what he's wearing tomorrow. Is it the same black suit or is it something else? I'm not sure.
It's a good question.
We'll find
out. It's definitely going to be cold. It's not going to be as warm as it was in Costa Rica. So
I wonder if we have any, I think.
Didn't he wear Commonwealth against New England?
I was about to say that. I wonder what the prop would be or what the odds would be for him to wear that $6,000 coat that he was it 6,000? I think it was like
I think it was three.
$3,000, whatever. Still, out of our price range, different tax bracket than you and I are in. But yeah, I'm intrigued onto what he wears, so I'm gonna go ahead and guess that. And Valerie has it right. And I said we wouldn't talk about him, but all black, the man in black, Jim Curtin, looked just like Diego Simeone out of Atletico Madrid. So I thought he looked fantastic. Awesome stuff. Granted, you know, I was fortunate enough maybe to be able to share some of the story, and we'll continue to do it with their chief marketing officer in terms of sharing more about the story, the partnership, and there's some really cool stuff coming that I think people will really, really, really like. We have a good question for you, Todd. Todd, any thoughts on McGlynn on the defensive end?
Saprissa, we're talking about.
Yes.
No, I think he played well defensively. Tracked his runners well. But like it didn't really like I feel like Saprissa didn't really trouble the Union that much. Like, I mean, they trouble them on set pieces, and we can get into that real quick if you want. Jose Martinez, one of his worst games. I talked about that at length, I feel like, on my podcast. The fullbacks, the two wingers for Saprissa, I thought they did a good job to like put pressure on Ned Harrell and Kai Wagner, but like I didn't notice the midfield of the Union getting overran with pressure. It was like more the Union's midfield creating issues themselves. They couldn't complete passes. They got the ball turned over, stolen off their foot. Defensively, now I don't think there was any issues whatsoever with Jack McGlynn. I think I'm trying to stall here for a little bit to look up stats to make my point. But
you're good. I think Jack did well, and I think the point that needs to be made is that yes, Saprissa was a formidable foe. Eddie Mendez, who you know, you actually referred him to me, spoke with him, was it Monday, and shared it through Substack and posted on Twitter. Very knowledgeable in Costa Rican soccer. So Saprissa, very good team. The Costa Rican league, very good league. I would say probably not a close third, but third behind Mexico, or I should say Mexico, U.S., and then Costa Rica in terms of levels of skill and talent. I guess Canada. I don't watch enough Canadian soccer to know, but anyways, what I'm trying to say is that I think the bigger character out of everything that happened on Tuesday night, late at night, was the stadium and the fans, because that stadium was rocking. It was loud. So Greg Von Schroeder, who is the owner of Commonwealth Proper, posted on Instagram just some videos walking up the sort of like the well where the players come out to go into the field. Dude, that was very loud. Very, very loud, despite being a rainy, rainy Tuesday evening. So I have been very critical of the Union away from home. I often choose them to draw or lose. But to do what they did on Tuesday against the best Costa Rican team at their place, I'm starting to change my mind a little bit more here about their away appearances or performances. Did you find what you wanted?
That's all good. I mean, I don't need stats to make a point. I think the eye test is all you need. No, I think Jack McGlynn played well defensively.
What did you make about the atmosphere in Costa Rica? Very different than 2021. Yeah,
that was awesome. That was awesome, right? You heard it on the broadcast. So imagine being in the stadium. Like I talked about this too. Like I saw videos online of the Costa Rican fans making so much noise, making atmosphere before the game even kicked off. And that's awesome. And I think Julian Carranza, correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, he enjoyed playing in the atmosphere, I think. I think they said, you know, they thrive in, like, hostile environments like that. And I even took it a step further on my podcast and said, these Union players have never played in an atmosphere like that in MLS. I think they've played in atmospheres like that with the CONCACAF Champions Cup. I said CONCACAF Champions League. You look at Azteca playing against Club America. Yeah, I know the stadium wasn't full, but I mean, it's the Azteca. You feel the weight of that stadium, even with it being 30%, 40% full. Now you get a full Saprissa stadium, and that atmosphere was that was awesome. And I think me as an American, you know, I feel like we can take a page out of the Saprissa fans' books and try to create an atmosphere like that. It's epic.
Yeah, if we could, if Subaru Park could copy and paste that type of atmosphere, I can't even
imagine. Send like the whole stadium was chanting. Like, people would kill to get that going in Subaru Park. And you see it all the time in Europe. And I don't want to, you know, compare us to Europe because, you know, the Euro snobs do that way too much. But it's like, I would kill for an atmosphere like that. Like, just simple chants. Like, yeah, we have the Clap 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 Union chant. Shout out to Keystone State Ultras for getting the Sha-la-la chant going pretty much around the full stadium. But man, I wish we could just like have noise nonstop like it was in Saprissa. The only time that it was quiet was when the Union were up 2-1 and then they went up 3-1. And then as soon as Saprissa scored to make it 3-2, you heard it. They believed in their team and you saw Saprissa players. They got that extra energy because of the fans. And if people say, you know, fans don't make a difference, look no further than what fans at Subaru Park have done to push the Union on. Look what happened in 2019 against New York Red Bulls. Union are losing that game 3-1. Fans are chanting, hey, Union, wake the F up. And Union wind up coming back 4-3. So, I mean, fans have such a big impact. And I think that's the reason why, you know, Subaru Park is such a hard place for teams to come into and play.
God, you can curse here, just so you're aware. You can.
I don't think I've ever cursed on my show either. So, you know, we keep it PG unless I have a degenerate guest coming on then.
Well, get ready for when I come on again. Just be ready. I think you're absolutely right. I think the atmosphere was what led, I think, to a lot of the mistakes, including, and we don't have to talk much further about this game, but the Glesna's own goal, which was a disaster. And as I said on my post on Twitter, and it happened, Eurosnobs ate that.
You know, of course they did.
It was just another bullet to their clip, right? of different hits that they can take over and over and over against North American soccer. So unless you have any more thoughts about Saprissa, congratulations, Julian Carranza.
Hat trick. Great
hat trick, second half hat trick. It took him to save the day. I hope that wasn't the best of him for the rest of the year, with a lot of games to go.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
So with that hat trick, I know, you know, we've had this debate. Julian Carranza can leave on a free in 2025. He'll have 6 months left on his deal in the summertime. But if he keeps scoring goals, like, do you see a situation where a team comes and offers the Union maybe $2-2.5 million to get him now instead of potentially getting him for free in the wintertime? I mean, when a striker is red hot and they're scoring goals left and right, I feel like multiple teams would be in on a player like Julian Carranza. And so I brought this up on my podcast and I said, you know, let's say Julian Carranza wants to go to multiple clubs come and approach him because they can open talks since he has less than 6 months remaining in the summertime. Let's say Julian says yes to three teams and all three teams want to wait and try to get him in the wintertime. But what if a fourth team comes in and says, look, we want Julian. Julian says, all right, I'm open to coming to you now. We'll give you money, Union. And then what about those other three teams? What if they start saying, well, we really want Julian Carranza. We wanted to get him on a free. But, you know, if there's another team involved for him right now, then a potential bidding war starts. Could you see that happening?
That's tough. I mean, is there a possibility? Absolutely. There's no non-zero chance that he can, you know, like, could he be picked up now? Technically, yes. I think there are some windows still open, as we saw with Chile and some South American leagues. I don't know if Turkey's still open. I don't know about other leagues out there in the east, on the other side of the sea. But is there a chance that he could be picked up right now? Absolutely. I don't think it happens. I think maybe I'm putting myself into Julian's shoes, which obviously, A, I don't have the jawline, B, I don't have the looks, and C, I'm not nearly as talented as him. So just take this with a grain of salt. So if I were him, I would think I genuinely would decline any offer to move mid-season, and I would just negotiate a contract with a delayed start for January. Just ride out the union season, play it through, and then start in December, January. Though you would argue that kind of like what the union have seen with GASDAQ starting mid-season, right? Very hard to incorporate yourself and have that start, et cetera, or hit the ground running. It's obviously always better when players get a preseason with the team, they get that fitness, they get to know their teammates, et cetera. But I can also see the argument of, well, he needs, it's kind of like college players, right? Like, you can't blame a college player for not wanting to play the bowl game. They're one injury away from never playing the sport again. And that could be applied the same to a soccer player like Julian Carranza, who he's one injury away from never setting foot in Europe, right? So I think I could see it both ways, where he negotiates ahead of time with 6 months or fewer in his contract left to start in January. But the union, I think, would be foolish not to just present every single offer in the summer, July 1. Or whenever they come in to Carranza and say, here's who is interested in you right now. Choose. You know, they want to get something for this player, because I think you did say it in your podcast, Todd, best. There are players like Julian Carranza out there. He is not unique. What is unique about the situation is that the union will never get someone for as cheap as they did in terms of Julian. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, it doesn't. You know what transfer window is open, though, still? Bolivia. Could you see a Bolivian team?
Absolutely not.
It's not happening.
Considering that most of them are actually banned from, or there's still a good chunk of teams that are still banned from registering players, I can tell you that they can't.
Yeah, Turkey's not open anymore. So, I mean, there are some countries that still have their windows open. But not a ton, not great countries. I mean, Brazil, I'm looking on this list, is probably the most attractive, but that's obviously not Europe. And Julian said he wants to play to Europe. I don't think he would pull in Alvaro Barbiel and go to Brazil.
He would be an unbelievable Brazilian league soccer player. Like, that's a league that would, I think he would be very, almost too good, right? Like, the whole idea of not wanting to quite sink, but also you don't want to be swimming freestyle in terms of comfort. I think Carranza wants to challenge himself. And Valerie brings up this point that you and I talked about. What was up with that Italian designation for him on the roster? Full transparency, I was listening as best as I could to today's press conference. I unfortunately could not ask a question, though they only, I think, allowed one question via Zoom.
That's unfortunate.
It is very unfortunate. My wife had a minor procedure on her hand, so I was actually in the recovery room area with my wife listening to the press conference as best as I could. And that was going to be one of my questions to Jim. What the hell is this whole Italian designation? I've emailed Union PR, never heard back, so it is what it is.
But have a chance tomorrow to ask.
Do I want to waste my question on that? It's weird to say.
No, right? Ask Julian himself.
Yeah, if he's there, I'll certainly pull him aside and ask him super quick. But yeah, I don't think he has the. I don't know. Folks from Cincinnati, her name is escaping me right now. Is it Laurel? Lauren?
Laurel.
Laurel Flaylor from the Queen City Press, I think, is her Patreon. She does an incredible job of covering that team and a very successful Patreon. She's fairly certain that there wasn't any type of animosity between Barreal and Cincinnati, because he just went, was it Cruzeiro? I can't remember where he went.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it Cruzeiro? Okay. He's gone on a loan to then in the summer, hopefully, have something come from Europe. So I don't think Julian would push for something like that. Do you think so? I don't think he has that type of demeanor or character. Then again, I don't know the guy beyond talking to him for like 30 minutes on a video call.
Yeah, I don't know him super well. I mean, I would say I don't know any of the players super well, honestly. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, right? I think all players say they want to go to Europe. Barbiel said he wanted to go to Europe. But, you know, no teams, I guess, in Europe are interested in him. And this is his best opportunity. And maybe he lights the world on fire in Brazil and then an opportunity presents itself. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a difficult one. Talking about Barbiel here, especially for a team that neither one of us really cover at all. I mean, we know Cincinnati. We know how they like to play because of Pat Noonan and Chris Albright, the Union connections. But I'm not sure what Julian would be open to in terms of going to Brazil or not going to Brazil.
Which, by the way, as we talk about Cincinnati super quick, shout out to Ray Gattis. Whatever he's deciding to do now that he's stepping away from Cincinnati, who knows what he's trying to do? I reached out to a former player that was his teammate, and he doesn't even know what Ray's trying to do. So who knows if he's retiring? Congratulations, Ray. Best luck on your next adventure. Please don't unretire again because we don't want to have to go through this again after retiring from the Union. And was it a random December? He suddenly just shows up with an orange scarf over his head. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell is this picture? But neither here nor there. Let's finish the show here talking about Chicago super quickly. Maybe we finish out here the last 9 minutes to make it a tidy hour for people going into Subaru Park, especially with all that traffic due to the bridge. A very interesting Chicago team with a very expensive player. Hugo, what is it? Kuipers?
Kuipers. Yeah, something like that.
What was he? $12 million?
$12 million. Insane.
I mean, that's six Mikael Uwas.
It's funny that you put it that way, but that's exactly what Jay Sugarman wants. I forget when he said this. He said this a couple years ago. He said he would rather have five $2 million players than one $10 million player, which, you know, I don't disagree with that. I mean, if you're going to go out there and get five $2 million players, then go and get them. We haven't seen it yet. And this is crazy. Look, we're going past an hour, Jose, because I'm about to bring up something that's going to make you so upset. Right. Why don't teams take advantage of the U22 initiative? Like, oh my gosh, like that's what this whole league, not just the Union, the whole league needs to take advantage of. Yes, MLS, we can all admit this. People watching this can admit MLS is a selling league. There is nothing wrong with MLS being a selling league. But why aren't teams taking advantage of this U22 initiative? Some teams do it. Miami, LA Galaxy, LAFC, Atlanta United. But your smaller market teams don't really. And there's nothing wrong with paying $12 million. You just better hope that you get double when you decide to sell him. I mean, that's a lot to sink into a player and to at least not break even. But it's like, why aren't we paying $2 million, $3 million to get players, especially from South America? I feel like that's where you look all over the world, like, a lot of profitable players come out of South America. Why aren't more teams taking care of this U22 initiative? It's crazy. And the fact that MLS didn't do anything in the offseason to like entice teams to use this even more, it's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, so for the uninitiated, the U22 initiative allows teams to... It's such a deep rabbit hole, Todd. You really do know me. If they take advantage of it, they can sign players and take limited hits to their budgets. So somewhere between 20 years or younger, you could be paying them yearly $600,000. But on the budget, he'll only hit for $150,000. If the player is between 21 and 25, they'll only hit for $200,000, despite you paying them three times that. So it is such an advantageous initiative that teams don't really take advantage of. I think currently for the Union, Macanha is a U22 initiative player. Who else? Is it just Macanha? You're muted.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Just Makanya.
So is Makanya really... How old is Makanya? I'm sorry, I'm throwing you on the spot here. I don't know. But regardless of age, I can't imagine he's making more than 200 grand. Right?
Probably. That sounds about right.
I mean, he should be, actually, now that I think about it. He should be on the roster on the MLSBA thing. How do you spell his name?
He's going to beat who to it?
188.
Oh, you beat me. So right under it, just like you said.
Just under it. So, like, outside of having the ability to have him there and you know, registered for that, like, I don't understand. But maybe there's more to it that I'm not getting. But you're right. I really do wish that, especially with some of these roster spots that the Union have now, if they're loaned and not occupying a spot, spend $6 million. I mean, LAFC just picked up an absolute stud with the Martinez kid from Venezuela who tore it up in the Preolimpico, which is the pre-Olympic tournament to see who thank you, Val knows I'm struggling here with a cough. So what happens to me when I get sick? A quick aside. The tail end of it is when I get the horrible cough. That's just the way it works. So tomorrow I'll probably be absolutely fine. But LAFC, incredible player they just picked up. And that guy's going to turn around and be worth $10, $12 million down the line. And they probably got him for very, very little straight out of Venezuela. So you're not wrong, Todd. I really do wonder why these teams don't use this and why MLS doesn't make it a bigger deal.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing to me. It's, like I said, I mean, MLS has accepted that it's a selling league. I think fans have accepted that they're a selling league. It's like, why aren't we doing everything in our power, especially with the World Cup coming up, like, to entice more and more young players to come here? I don't know. I mean, I guess there's a reason why we're not owners.
Yeah, no, there's absolutely, it's not our money, right? And that's the easiest thing for us to say. But Chicago, $12 million striker, let's hope he doesn't do $12 million striker things, because that's probably going to be the first comment we get out of Jim, you know, if he comes in. And
don't you have like a whole file section saved on your computer of Jim calling out ownership?
I have three or four video clips of Jim comments about spending, which is it's you know, it's valid. It's, he has a point, but it's also kind of like, oh man, I knew this was coming, so I'm ready to clip it. But this Chicago roster, I mean, a team that hasn't made the playoffs, I don't think, since 2017, or at least Alex Calabrese told me today. Plug, video coming tomorrow.
Hint.
That team has not made the playoffs since 2017. So it's a team that's been long, despite even having more playoff spots last year, they still found a way not to make it into the playoffs. Recently moved a few players, I think bought out a contract, if I recall. This we didn't talk about with Alex, but Kasper Szewilko sent over to Switzerland to the sister club or brother club, whatever you want to call it, of FC Lugano in Switzerland. Same owner. A little fishy, if you ask me. I guess it's no different than what Manchester City does, just shuffling players. But Gutman also picked up.
Colorado, which he's had a weird last couple of months, really. So he went from Atlanta to Colorado to Colorado to now Chicago.
Chicago guy. That my understanding is that he is a Chicago native, so it sort of felt like coming home.
Homecoming, yep. Same with Mueller a couple seasons ago when they got him from Hibs, I believe it was. He left Orlando City, went to Hibs, and then he came back to MLS. And
that's right.
Chicago was his hometown team.
Yeah, I forgot. Oh, man. It's been that long. Yeah, I remember when he was with Orlando, and he was just killing
it. It was good, and then he got a move to Europe and hardly played in Scotland. And, well... Man, I get so distracted because you look at all the players that go from MLS to Scotland and it doesn't really work out. Jose Cifuentes, who left LAFC, went to Rangers and that didn't really work out. And now I believe he's on loan to a club in Brazil. I think that's reports that I saw. At James Sands when he went on loan from New York City to Rangers too, funny enough, and didn't really play a lot. And now he's back in New York City, one of the best midfielders. I don't know. I think MLS teams need to stop doing business with teams in Scotland, or teams in Scotland need to stop doing business with teams in America.
Well, this will hurt the one team we agree on, but backwards in terms of Stu Finlay, you know, coming from Scotland, not really playing here, played the infamous 2021 game against New York and then shipped them back. So, yeah, it's an interesting situation. But Chicago, I think I'm convinced that tomorrow is going to end in a draw. Not great weather. Going to be a little cold at home. Sure. Not a loss. But I'm really intrigued. Does Acosta play? And what does this Cyphers guy, Kyphers, whatever his name is, Ugo, what does he do? Like, how is he going to challenge this defense? And let's not forget, Glesnes has had a pretty rough preseason. I don't know if you remember the header back to Blake during the Cincinnati match. And then you have the own goal, which it's not preseason. That's actually a match that matters.
Yeah,
but has had a few howlers here. And really, what does Jim do? Is it too early to rotate players? Or does it make sense to start rotating players now so sports hernias don't show up at the end of the season? I don't know what you make of what Jim's going to do tomorrow.
Before I answer that, I'm looking at Hugo's stats for the season. So for people unfamiliar, he was teammates with Mark McKenzie over in Belgium in Genk. He had 17 goals for Genk this season in 34 appearances. So that's a goal every other game. It's a striker that's coming in.
That's good.
Pretty informed. So yeah, where's the opposite of yeah, not good? we need a clip of Jim saying yeah, that's good or something like that. Then I'll just add it to the soundboard.
That's
but
funny.
Yeah, I mean, wow, that's really good. 17 goals in 34 games, a goal every other game. Good potential here at the Union. Shaqiri, I feel like the Union do a pretty good job keeping him in line. I don't know. It's so hard to tell what the Chicago team's going to be because it's practically a completely different team than what we saw last year. And Kyle brought up this point to me this afternoon on a phone call. He said, you know, the Union after Ezra Hendrickson, the former Chicago Fire boss, got fired, the Union never played Chicago anymore this season. So the Union haven't seen a Chicago team under Frank Klopas, the new manager who was the interim manager last year, then got named the permanent manager, his second stint at the club. I don't know. I honestly don't know what to expect from Chicago. I mean, looking at the stats, and of course, you know, stats don't tell the whole story, but you pay $12 million for a striker. Shaqiri isn't the player that he once was, but he's still going to create chances. There's a possibility, I think, the Union could lose. If I'm being honest, the Union don't play well on home openers. I know last year they beat Columbus 4-1, but I don't know. This is one of those games, one of these teams fans, I feel like, expect the Union to get a result against. Hopefully the players don't feel that way, but I could potentially see the Union losing. I know they don't lose at Subaru Park. We were talking about it 15 minutes ago, but I don't know. This could be one of those games, you know, a fluke own goal, a fluke goal given up. I mean, remember the last time these two teams played at Subaru Park, it took Joaquin Torres of all people to score a game winning goal. Chris Brady got his hand on it, should have saved that, and the game should have ended 0-0, but the Union walk away with a late minute victory, I believe it was. And yeah, everybody said, yes, this is exactly why we got Joaquin Torres, and that was it for Joaquin. So I don't know, with it being cold again, you're right, maybe 0-0, but you could also make the argument maybe one of these teams get a fluky goal.
And who's going to be in goal? That's also a big question for the Philadelphia Union with Andre Blake having, was it a hip abductor type of strain? I think it was, or an abductor. Oliver Semla may be called upon, though. Jim today, I don't have a soundboard, but Jim,
I should have saved it. My bad.
And that's okay. Jim praised the hell out of him, and for a good reason. The player has done an incredible job in USL. Jim was also very quick to say, who identified him, and we could tell that he is a player that's continuing to progress and he's ready for this next step with being MLS. So him coming to the Union is no mistake, but Oliver, all due respect, it's no Andre Blake. So I don't know what you make of the mental games of potentially having to start with a backup keeper.
You know, I'd hate to do this, Jose, but you know, I was fake news to the listeners. So Hugo actually didn't play with Mark McKenzie. Wasn't with Genk. It was with Ghent. You know, similar logos, both blue, both begin with a G. So sorry, listeners, but he did play in Belgium. So that part's right, and he did score 17 goals in 34 appearances. But just wanted to
I think that's more impressive, actually.
Maybe
that he did it for Ghent and Genk.
Yeah, I mean, dude, this happens every time when we get together. We just we go down the rabbit hole. We go so off track, and it's like I told the listeners on Twitter. I said over under we go an hour and 10, and yeah, we're definitely passing that. But
listen, you little shit, you're vamping here to run that clock up. I know what you're doing. I can tell what you're doing, you little shit. Listen, I think with all
in six in Belgium this season,
and still scoring 17 goals in 34 games, which again is extremely impressive when you're doing it for a mid-table side, right? It to me gives me a lot of images of some of these, you know, what happens in Europe or in England specifically, where you have these mid-level teams have one striker that's just firing it up, and then the next season they're picked up by a Manchester United, a Manchester City, a Liverpool, etc., because of those performances. So good for Hugo. I wonder what, and we'll find out in the spring when the MLSPA guide comes out. I wonder what he's making in the United States. I'm gonna go ahead and say closer to $2.5 million a year. Like that's some DP
sounds about right
for a striker. Because Chicago is no Philadelphia. Chicago was paying, I should say, Casper, was it $1.5 million a year, $2 million a year? So like paying some good money to him for doing absolutely nothing. Or not a whole lot, I should say. But as we close out the show here, Todd, your predictions for tomorrow. I know you mentioned a loss, but for the sickos like Mike Barrera, who is watching, what are your score predictions, scorers?
And Jose, don't show that comment that Mike said. Don't show that comment.
I don't even know I don't even know who that person is. But go ahead and give me your score prediction, scorers, and if they're an open play or set piece goals, including penalty kick.
Should I agree with what I predicted? So in my prediction episode, I said the Union would win this game. I didn't give a score. And I know I said I could see Chicago winning this game. Oh, man. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I know we saw the Union score 3 goals against Saprissa. I'll go 1-1. I'll go 1-1. I'll say for the Union, Jack McGlynn scores.
Whoa.
And I'll say for Chicago, man, the Union don't give a lot up on set pieces, but they didn't look great on set pieces against Saprissa. I feel like the Union, like I said, do a good job shutting down. I'm going to say Haile Selassie scores for Chicago. Haile Selassie.
Okay. I'm thinking it's going to be 2-2, a draw. Carranza scores. Gazdag scores. Both from open play.
Ooh.
Not a penalty.
Wow.
For Chicago, I think Hugo gets his regular season first goal, and then Mueller will either be a sub or a starter. I don't know. He's going to get a goal too, just because of the way it works. I think he's a very dynamic player. He's one I wish the Union had and had the system to play someone like him, because I think he is absolute class. I remember when he was in Orlando, I used to think, God, I wish the Union had a player like him. And being American and all the rest, he would just make it so much easier for roster rules and whatnot. but 2-2. What was the other thing I asked? Scorers and open play and not open play. I do have something to show here. Mike, how do I show pictures?
We need so Mike. Sorry. Mike, I'm trying to look up stats here. I'm like, oh, we need Kyle here. We need Kyle, like, just to pull these stats left and right. Where you at, Kyle?
Hold on.
We came prepared, obviously, for the listeners. This is high quality production.
Listen, if they're watching, they're gonna love this. But I remember last year, I did a 1-on-1 with Ibun Oloye out of LBF, and I had shared the details of every single year. My understanding is that the Union will get new apparel from him, but then on a rotating basis, five teams will come through. Here is something new that's coming, or is already there. Should look very familiar. Enter Miami swag. Wow. Here we go. Lowest hanging fruit.
Yeah, literally.
He's going to make a ton of money from these jackets. I'm telling you right now. Wow. That looks sharp as hell.
Better than the Inter Miami jerseys they have. I mean, I know this obviously isn't a jersey, but it's better than anything that Fanatics would make.
Anybody,
by the way, like, we've all seen the baseball jerseys, like, and these are the people that have a monopoly on all your favorite sports teams in America, and we continue to let that happen. Or I should say the owners of these leagues continue to let that happen.
Got it. Damn. Yeah, it's crazy. I'm convinced that I'm trying to think who's got a white uniform when the Dodgers come to Pennsylvania in the summer and they wear their white.
The Orioles come this year.
Okay. When they wear all white to Philadelphia in a hot summer, July, you're going to see dongs. Those pants are see-through, dude. Those pants are so see-through. It's unbelievable. So it's gonna be interesting. They just look paper thin. And I know you got your wish over an hour 10. We're completely aside here, but just a cool little LBF. And the 15th anniversary is applying union-wise to a lot of different brands. And I'm allowed to say that LBF is one of them. So keep an eye out for 15th anniversary LBF stuff, as far as I know. Conversation from last year. So cool stuff coming. Match tomorrow. A lot of NyQuil and DayQuil and some emergency tomorrow to make sure to get through it with all of you and with the players. I will not get them sick. I know I'm at the tail end of this just because of how my dumb body works. But Todd, any parting words? Hard to believe that the season's here.
Yeah, it is. And I'm super excited to be at Subaru Park and see everybody again. It's been, God, when's the last time we've actually seen? I mean, I know we've talked on the phone for like every single day, but actually seeing each other in person, has it really been since the New England game? I think it has. Wow.
Yeah, it's been a long time, man. It's
the last people that I saw was. Yeah, I'm not gonna say their name.
Yeah, don't say their names or her name.
Kyle and Jillian. That's the last people I saw.
That's good enough. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, just happy.
I'm excited, but you know, I you can encapsulate this and clip this, and come July, when it's Leagues Cup, you're gonna complain about it. If the Union hosts, I should say, all the drives down. Remember last year, how many, what was it, like 7 games that the Union had at home? Like, that was unbelievable.
Yeah, I was so mad, dude, making that drive all the time. It's like, dude, we're getting home super late. It's like, what are we doing?
Well, I know your work is not one that can be done remote, but you would have been more than welcome to stay at my place as an in-between, but obviously your work is not remote. But hey, anyways, I'll be at the lot at around 3:30, 4 o'clock with a group of people. If you see me or Todd, I'm going to go ahead and say it, Todd, so bear with me. Same with Mike. Anybody who does press, please say hi. We cannot thank you enough for watching, listening, reading, sharing, commenting, whatever. on our content.
Yeah, this is the best part of the show, is like people interacting. It's the coolest thing.
Well,
they make the show.
They make the show, especially when we know them, right? And maybe people that we don't know too well. Just find us, say hello. We're friendly. We're not. I don't know what this comment is. Just blank. Whatever that means. We appreciate that too. Yeah, Mike. I love Mike. Little self-deprecation. Just watch out for Mike. Mike Wazowski. Just say hello. And let's hope the union win, man. It's whether the team does well or not great, I think we'll continue to cover it fairly. And again, it's hard to believe that we're about to embark on 30 some regular season games plus whatever else gets thrown the union's way. Like it's going to be a long season, and I'm already a little tired. We've only had one official game. So anyhow, Todd, thank you so much. Where can people find you? You're the pride of Joppa Town, the pride of Maryland, DC United's homegrown. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, the pride of Joppa, Joppa Town, whatever. You know,
that it sounds like a Pokemon town. Don't even
I know, say just that last time. I'm such a dick for correcting you, my bad. now I'm distracted. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, at Freaky Pods, a podcast. My personal, It's a Todd's Life on Twitter. It's a Todd's Life _ I think on Instagram. I don't use Instagram, so why anybody would want to follow me on there, I don't know. The podcast, just wherever you get your podcast, The Free Kick, the YouTube channel, youtube.com/freekickpod. And yeah, I'm in the process of starting a Substack to write and post everything that I post on social media. But, you know, I have some listeners that say, I don't have social media. Can you post what you post someplace else? You used to have a website and now you don't. So yeah, I'm in the process of creating a Substack. So that's just going to be thefreekick.substack.com once it's done. But yeah, that's pretty much everything. And thank you, Jose, so much for making me the fourth string option tonight, like I open the podcast with. Hopefully my performance has convinced you and Mike. Maybe I can move up in that third place spot. I promise I won't go to the media and complain if you guys don't give me more playing time.
I'm going to go ahead and say that you're going to stay around. You're going to be the Ty Baribo of our depth chart for the foreseeable future. And honestly, I asked you to go first because I don't remember my own handle. You can find me at Jose R. Nunez 91 on Twitter, and I also have a Substack, nunezj.substack.com. Try to post a whole lot. I try to do at least one post a week, sometimes a little bit more, and I'm going to start doing some more content in terms of maybe kind of like Eddie Mendez, right? Like short form interviews with opponents or people that represent or cover the opponents that the union are going up against that week, which should be more and more interesting as hopefully they go ahead and move along in terms of the CCC. But for now, this is the AAT Sports Across the Pitch podcast. We can't thank you enough and see you tomorrow, everybody. Be safe, safe travels. Don't forget, the bridge is going to suck tomorrow. Try to get there before 5 o'clock. See ya.
See ya.
Yeah, not good.
There it is. Bread's done.